54. Unlike Twin Soul, who had tapped the pure investiture like a keg, drawing it forth slowly as he needed it, Moonlight took the entire jug in one metaphoric slurp, sticking her hand into it and drawing it in. Her hair shrank to a bob and became luminous. Incredibly, her skin managed to outshine it, glowing from within like her core was ablaze, but with a white fire somehow far more pure than any worldly flame. Power swirled around Moonlight, and she even appeared to rise off the ground, though she was simply up on her tiptoes. She let out a long, satisfied sigh, then turned to Marcy, glowing like some divinity of lore, a being of radiant energy. She smiled through two perfect lips, blessed from within by her natural brilliance. The glow started to fade almost immediately, but she knelt on the ground and began drawing with her finger. She consulted the map and the notations on it that Marcy showed her. She nodded, and light flooded from her, leaving a traced image on the ground. It looked a little like the map, a quick sketch of the basin, but with a strange rune at the center. Once she finished, her light stabilized, then brightened. She sighed in satisfaction again and stood in the center of the circular drawing of light. Only then did she address Marcy. "Ah," she said, her voice slightly higher pitched than before. "A mortal. How are you, child?" She searched around the room without waiting for an answer. "I seem to be in an unexpected location." "You're in Bilming," Marcy said. "Underground."
"Don't recognize it."
"The Elendil Basin?" Marcy said, and was rewarded with a blank stare. "You just drew a map of it on the ground."
"Oh," Moonlight said, looking at her feet. "So I did. How curious."
She clasped her hands behind her back, humming softly to herself. When she noticed Marcy gaping at her, she looked to one side, then the other.
"Ah, did you have a boon to request of me, child? Something I can do for you?"
"There are soldiers outside," Marcy said, pointing as the door began to thump and crack, "who want us dead."
"Bother,"
Moonlight said, then began moving her hands in the air, drawing a complex network of lines that hung and glowed there. She finished with a flourish, and the lines faded into the wall, which stopped cracking despite the people pounding on it.
"Who are they?" Moonlight said. "Nasties from the Rose Empire? Or another group of Wern's faithful come to waste their time trying to fight their betters?"
Marcy said. "They're just bad people. We had a plan to..."
"We?"
Moonlight asked. "You and I, before you changed."
"I have always been Shae-I," she said, gesturing. "Blessed of the Shae-Od."
"Right. Okay. Oh, blessed one," Marcy said, trying something else. "Your power is incredible, and your being divine. Please, will you grant me a boon?"
"Why, of course," she said, perking up. "So polite, a rare quality in mortals."
"I need to escape through that door," Marcy said, pointing to the one in the rear wall, "which will soon vanish. I need the people outside to think I have left another way. With you. I understand you can vanish?"
"Vanish? I'll use Aeon Tae," Moonlight said. "But that is quite the blessing you ask. I'd need distance and inclination."
"Oh," Marcy said. 2763, inclination 12 degrees? But can you really vanish?"
"Fine, fine. But if you flee through that door, they'll find only me in here. An imperfect solution devised by someone with poor planning skills. Here."
She tapped Marcy on the forehead, then drew some symbols in the air with one hand. A second later, a duplicate of Marcy appeared, made with some of Moonlight's power. It started moving, though when Marcy tried to touch it, her fingers passed right through. That made it even more unnerving.
"Are you still here?" Moonlight said. "Scoot along, scoot along. Shae-I has it all in hand, child. I'll deal with these, then make a great show of vanishing. Be certain to deliver the proper offerings for the blessing I've magnanimously gifted you, and be pious in your treatment of your gods.
Yup, Marcy said. Pious. I'll be pious.
She stepped toward the door, then paused, noticing the last jar of light in the rucksack. She took the bag, which seemed to have some other useful equipment in it too, but handed Moonlight the burned notebook and leather folio of stamps.
You'll want these later, Great One, Marcy said. They're very important. Please take them and keep them safe.
Fine, fine, she said,
then shooed Marcy away with one hand, waving toward the breaking lines on the wall, which was being pounded in force now, with the other.
Hurry! They are almost through.
Marcy threw the rucksack over her shoulder and, with regret, left her rifle. She needed to be inconspicuous, so the pistol she stashed in the rucksack would have to do. She also left the lab coat, counting on her clothing, still that of a common delivery driver, intended to blend in with the workers for the set, to conceal her. She then pushed through the door. As she closed it, she glimpsed Moonlight standing beside the Marcy doppelganger, drawing lines of light in the air with both hands as the far wall buckled and began to break. Marcy ducked away from the windows, which were indeed one-way glass, disguised on this side as part of a large checkerboard pattern. She threw the rucksack over her shoulder and slipped into the peaceful neighborhood, hoping that this strange version of Moonlight would stick to the plan.